All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. We have been going on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Corinthians, and several topics are addressed here in this particular letter. And in fact, we're going to start getting into the meat of what Paul is addressing, issues that were present in the church at Corinth. Okay, and once again, if you haven't studied the entire book, this church is the most carnal you'll find in the New Testament. Some people say that the Laodicean church was probably worse, but the Laodicean church didn't necessarily deal with carnality as they did with lukewarmness, with apathy and indifference. And sometimes that's even worse, I suppose, than carnality. Because a person that is indifferent, they don't know where they stand with the Lord. At least in carnality, you know you're not right with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul's going to delve into something that he broached in chapter 1, and that is divisions. And what are these divisions based on? They are based on certain popular personalities that were leaders, spiritual leaders, in that particular time in that particular region. All right, so let's jump into chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. Okay, so let's write this down first. Spiritual. Number 2, carnal. And he mentions in chapter 2 the natural man. Spiritual man. I know I'm using the masculine gender. Carnal man. Natural man. Did we touch on these already? I think we probably have. We said the spiritual man is someone who is mature in Christ. Right? A carnal man is someone who is saved, but is immature. They're acting like a spiritual babe, and they are no different than someone who has never given their lives to Jesus Christ, the natural man. There is no difference in the lifestyle between a carnal person and a natural person. The natural person is not saved. The carnal person is saved. The carnal person is going to heaven, as we'll see in this chapter. The natural person is not. Number, verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Who has ever found out that in some churches, in all churches, some people cannot stomach the spiritual meat that might be offered or presented by a minister or a Bible teacher. And the spiritually mature will receive it. The less spiritually mature will reject it, will have opinions about it, will say that maybe that's a little too harsh, that's a little too demanding, that's a little too hard to stomach. But didn't we see that in the life of Jesus when there were different crowds that followed Jesus, but they followed him for all the wrong reasons? Like in John chapter 6, Jesus, you know, multiplied bread and the loaves of bread and the fish, and they followed him just for him being their meal ticket, literally, and for him to meet their physical needs. And when Jesus starts talking about going beyond physical food and eating his body in order to take part with him, they got offended. Right? Did not the people say, who can stomach these things? That's the way it reads in the Greek language. Who can accept? That's what our Bibles read. But in the Greek language, it really says, who can stomach these things? See, what happened there? Who would agree with me that there are difference? There are a lot of Jesus fans around, but there are not as many Jesus followers around. You know, a lot of people will talk about the Lord, and yes, but when the times get tough, you know, they forget about the Lord. They were just fans. They were not followers. And so it's interesting that several things will separate the fans from the followers, the spiritual from the carnal. Notice verse 3, for you are still carnal, for there are, and here's the crux of the matter, for there are envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like what? Mere men. Or number 3, aren't you behaving like unsaved people? That's what Paul's saying. You're behaving like the natural man who doesn't even have a relationship with Christ. Okay? He's going to break it down. Verse 4. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who would agree with me that sometimes it's easy to get caught up in people's personalities? We follow personalities. We follow, instead of following the Lord, we gravitate. You know, I do believe that there's a place that render honor to whom honor is due. In terms of spiritual leaders, the Bible is clear about that. But don't follow them. It's a very slippery slope. The Bible says that we should look at their lifestyle, not just be enamored with their teaching. Look at their lifestyle. Look at the outcome of their behavior. And if the outcome of their lifestyle is bearing positive fruit, yoo-hoo, right? Then follow them. But don't be enamored initially with personality. Who would agree with, you know, I'll just tell you, I think you all will agree with me on this, that a lot of ministries are based on the force of a minister's personality and not on anointing or power. People are easily swayed by personalities. If you don't believe that, I mean, remember Jimmy Swaggart? Remember Jim Baker? Remember Robert Tilton? I mean, people gathered around these personalities and they loved them, and everything was hunky-dory until something went grossly awry with that person, particularly in their private life. And then, you know, that whole ministry came collapsing with that person's character or moral failures. So we have to be careful about the personalities. Here we go. Who then is Paul and who then is apostles? This is verse 5. But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. So what are these people? They're ministers. That's all they are. They're ministers. Notice verse 6. Paul planted, Apollos watered. And here's the interesting thing. But God, in the Greek language, you can underline the word God 3 times. It is highly emphasized. But it is God who gave the increase. It's not the one who plants, right? It's not really the one who waters. It's the one who has the ability to bring forth that spiritual harvest. Notice what he says here. Verse 7. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. In John chapter 4, Jesus talks, it's a beautiful cross reference. Jesus talked about that they will meet each other, the planter and the waterer will meet each other, and they will work hand in hand, but they will give glory to God who brought the spiritual increase or brought the spiritual harvest. Who of us can save another person spiritually? None. We can tell them about the Savior. We can re-establish something that somebody else planted in them. Let me illustrate this for you. You know, a couple years ago, about 4 years ago, there was a guy who reached out to me on Facebook. His name was Vidal. This is when I had my public page. And he said, I don't know if you remember me, but, you know, I there towards the end of your ministry in Effingham, I came to church. And he said, I sat under your ministry. And then you and your family moved away not long after we got there. And then he said, Pastor so-and-so, who's the pastor there now, he said, he led me to faith in Christ. But he said, I want you to know that you helped plant the seed. That guy made my day, because I played a part as somebody might consider planting insignificant, but unless you plant, you can't water, right? And then, but God gives the increase, all right? So anyway, that was encouraging. So let's read on. It says here, verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Thank God that there are rewards for that. Verse 9, for we are God's fallow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Very interesting. This is a powerful scripture. Notice what it does not say. We can learn from scripture as much as from what it does not say as from what it does say. It does not say we are workers for God. Though that is true, right? We are his workers. We are his servants. But what does it say? We are God's, what's the next word? Fallow workers. We not only work for the Lord, we work with the Lord. He has chosen for his children to play a part, a vital role in the spiritual harvest of human lives. Very interesting. Isn't that cool? I love that verse. All right, so I'm a fallow laborer with the Lord. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder. Notice he has departed the idea of the field and sowing and reaping and watering. Right? He said, we are God's field. And then what's the next thing he said in verse 9? We are God's building. So he departs the field motif. He's done with the planting, the watering, and the reaping. And now he's going to go into building. And he says, by God's grace, I am a wise master what? Builder. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Okay, so he's going to tell us what the foundation is in people's lives. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I mean, who laid that foundation? Didn't it start with the Lord? Didn't it go on with the disciples? Didn't it go on with the apostles? Didn't it go on with all the gospel, not all the gospel writers, with all the writers of the New Testament and so on? They're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. How many elements were listed there? Six. Gold, number one. Number two, silver. Number three, precious stones. Number four, wood. Number five, hay. Number six, straw. Notice what's going to happen. Verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day. When he says I'm going to do a series on the day. Whose Bible does your Bible have the letter D capitalized on the word day? I'm going to do a teaching on that one. It's very powerful. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Okay, so let me ask you a question. What happens when you send gold, silver, and precious stones through fire? What does it do to that those elements? It what? It melts them, but it refines them, right? Doesn't fire refine gold? Doesn't fire purify silver? Doesn't fire make more precious these precious stones? But what happens when you put wood, hay, and straw through fire? Smithereens. It burns them up, doesn't it? Okay? Notice carefully. Paul is liking our works as Christians, how we live our lives in this planet as Christians, as either the three good or the three useless. Our works, our acts of compassion. I can't really take credit for this, so I'll use this as an illustration. But just yesterday, I was in Peoria, and it was brutally cold and windy. And I was seeing one of my hospice patients, and the son, he was gracious. And every time he sees me, he says he loves to bless pastors. Well, I wish I had him every day in my life. But so he pulls, he reaches into his pocket, pulls out a 20, right? So I, after I was done with that patient, I went to Starbucks, deposited 10, and I thought the other 10 I'll use for lunch. And but I was driving, and there in the corner was some guy, a veteran with a cardboard sign. And, you know, you never know if they're plants, if they're just there to make money. But I thought, you know, even if he's fake, he's earning his money today, because it was brutally cold and he was not jacketed up. And just out of compassion, I rolled down the window and I motioned for him. He came and I gave him the 10. I said, look, get you some warm to drink. And I just left, you know, because I just felt, how many of us know that being a Christian sometimes means connecting with another human being on basic human needs, right? You might not lead them to Christ. You might not even have an opportunity to tell them about Christ, but in a very small window of time, you can bless them. And so, you know, whether that receives a reward or not, that's not my motivation. My motivation was to help him. But the Lord takes things like that into account. What good are we doing with our lives here on earth? And I notice, but how many of us understand also that we as Christians, and the context here is carnality. Carnality is nothing but wood, hay, and straw that will meet the fire of testing on that day. Okay? Paul goes on to talk about that further in chapter 4. But let's continue with chapter 3. So far, so good, everybody? Notice verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on the foundation of Christ, endures, that person will receive a what? He will receive a reward, or she will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, they will suffer what? But he himself will be what? They themselves will be what? Saved. Saved. Yet so as through fire. Okay, it's loaded here, so let me backtrack a little bit. It's useless, the useless works in our lives that really center around S-E-L-F, self, right? That center around self is what's going to be burned up on that day. But will that person be saved? Yes, they'll be saved. Notice the way it says in my Bible, yet as through fire. Okay, what that means is that as one escaping a house that is burning with flames and the house is about to collapse, the person survives, but all their precious belongings, all their memories, all their photos, everything of value in that house is burned up. And I think there's going to be, on that day, capital D day, there's going to be a lot of tears from believers who said, I squandered my life. I squandered my life. I could have done better. I could have done more. Did any of you watch Schindler's List, the movie? Wasn't that a powerful movie? Do you remember at the very end of the movie, Oscar Schindler is saying, you know, he worked hard to save the lives of many Jews. But there at the end of the movie, he's like, I could have saved more. And he breaks down with deep sorrow and emotion. And he says, I could have saved more. This car. Think of all the thousands I could sell this for and save more people. And the guy's trying to console him. And he seems inconsolable. Because I think that that's maybe a picture of what it'll be like on the day. But understand that Revelation 22 also reads that God will wipe every tear from our eyes. I believe that part of those tears are tears of regret that we could have done better, that we could have done more for the cause of Christ. Amen? Verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. That's a reference to Job chapter 5, verse 13. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. They are futile. Therefore, let no one glory in men. What were the Corinthians doing? They were glorying in Paul, Apollos, Peter, right? He says, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. That's a mouthful of a statement. Do you know what Paul is saying? Everything in the created order, God created to give to his son Christ, right? Doesn't Romans 8 say that we are fallow heirs or joint heirs with Christ? Heirs of God? Incidentally, that word world in verse 22, it's the Greek word cosmos, from which we get our English word cosmos. And the cosmos means the what? The universe. Yeah. All things are yours. And he says, and you guys are fighting over people? You're glorying over men? And he refocuses, you are whose? You are Christ, and Christ is God. All right, that's chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words. Thank you for your word. It is powerful. It is true. Thank you, Lord. Help us to receive them into our hearts. Thank you that you're helping us, Lord God, day by day, do better, live better. Lord, it is not an instantaneous overnight process, Lord. Help us to slowly do better, live better, serve better. In Jesus' name, amen.